Welcome back to the Mortgage Lender's Diary. I hope that you've been enjoying the podcast so far. I've got an Instagram, so you can find me at a Mortgage Lender's Diary and give me a follow. I hope to, actually that's underscore pod, podcast, I think. I changed it. I'm gonna put it in the show notes because I don't wanna like mislead anyone, but I really wanna connect with you guys and answer any questions that you guys might have and just connect with people. Yeah, so my Instagram handle is a Mortgage Lender's Diary underscore podcast. So it's a tough road and I wanna help support anyone that I can. While we are all salesmen and saleswomen, we need to support each other and specifically through the testing portion of getting certified because it is hard. And there aren't as many resources out there as there are for realtors, and just want to make sure that people can understand the information and get the support that maybe I didn't feel going through. So one of the big parts of the test is about understanding RESPA. So I'm going to cover this topic in two podcasts. I don't want to have these be an hour and a half lectures, and I want to make it something where you can put it on like 1.2x, like I sound better on that speed anyway, and drive to work while you are seeking something different in your life, and maybe something on the shorter end would work well. How I want to do these study session parts of the podcast is go through all the things on the outline about RESPA. A lot of this information I just went and Googled for. Much of it is from Investopedia. There are Quizlets on this. I took a lot of information from that. I got information from CompuCram. I got information from the pre-education course, so I'll try to put direct sources in the description, so let's jump right in. All right, so starting out, we need to look at the RESPA origins and purposes. Buyers and sellers know, so basically the idea behind it was so that buyers and sellers know complete settlement cost disclosures, and it takes out any kind of like abusive predatory practices, or at least creates laws that helps to limit them, for sure. It prohibits kickbacks and things that jack up the fees that buyers and sellers are charged. So it was effective in 1975, so that's probably one of the numbers. It was passed in 1974, but then became effective in 75, and it was first enforced by HUD, but now it's enforced by the CFPB due to the Dodd-Frank Act, and it's currently being regulated by the CFPB. I can definitely see that being a quiz question, a test question, of who regulates it, when was it effective, that was 75, or when was it passed, and that was 74. RESPA applies to purchase loans, refinances, property improvement loans, and equity lines of credit. So that's another good thing, and I'm going to repeat it again. It's purchase loans, refinances, property improvements, and equity lines of credit. So according to Investopedia, and these two next facts are directly from Investopedia, so I just want to source them. A plaintiff has 1 year to bring a lawsuit to enforce violations where kickbacks or other improper behavior occurred during the settlement process. So they have 1 year to bring a lawsuit against the company for not enforcing these or enforcing violations. A plaintiff has up to 3 years to bring a suit against their loan servicer. So that's really important to remember, that there's 1 year to bring a lawsuit to enforce violations where kickbacks or other improper behavior occurred, but 3 years to bring a suit against their servicer. The RESPA statute covers mortgage loans on a 1-4 family residential property. So this is not apartment buildings, this is just 1-4 units. The next thing that they want you to know for RESPA is the definition of a mortgage broker. A mortgage broker this is what Investopedia says. A mortgage broker is an intermediary who brings mortgage borrowers and mortgage lenders together, but who do not use their own funds to originate mortgages. A mortgage broker helps borrowers connect with lenders and seeks out the best fit in terms of the borrower's financial situation and interest rate needs. The broker also gathers paperwork, passes the paperwork for underwriting, and the broker earns a commission from either borrower, lender, or both at closing. So many times, the broker does not directly do the money. This is not the same as someone who would work at the bank. This is kind of like what a lot of the mortgage originators would be, are brokers working for a company that doesn't necessarily then, like, they're completely the intermediary bringing two parties together. Think about it as being like an agent in the show business. The agent doesn't do the acting, but the agent helps get the star parts. So we're going to talk about the knowledge of the prohibitions, limitations, and exemptions set by RESPA. Exemptions, business loans, commercial or agricultural purposes. Section 8 is the thing that you have to remember when it comes to kickbacks with referrals and payments to attorneys, title company, lender, broker, etc. If a fee is high for something, the Bureau can investigate, and that's another Section 8 rule. And any document provided to pursuant to this section shall be retained for 5 years from the date of execution. Remember that some documents are subject to RESPA document retention, others RESPA and TRID, so you have to be careful exactly what the question is asking. So just pay attention and read the whole question. Think about, like, record retention for anything, record retention, what does TRID say, what does RESPA say? Those might be different answers. So types of loans for which RESPA is applicable. It's 1-4 unit residential loans, loans sold in the secondary market, which is Fannie and Freddie, or federal regulated loans. Bonafide discount points on application during a mortgage loan origination is 1% of the loan amount, and so you might get questions of saying, the purchase price is this, the loan amount is this, how much would 2 points be? Then you're just calculating 1% of the loan amount times 2, if it's 2 points, 3, if it's 3 points, etc. So that's pretty straightforward and a really easy calculation to do. So the required information on a application can be remembered using the acronym ALIENS. That stands for address, loan amount, income, estimated property value, name, and social security number. That is the way that I really like to remember it, and make sure that this is something easily memorable for you. On some practice tests that I've seen, it says, like, what is included, which of these is not included on the loan application, and it'll ask something like address, income, name, or birthday, you know, and that's not an alien, so it's address, loan amount, income, estimated property value, name, and social security number. So just keep an eye out for those kinds of questions. So the last thing that I'm going to cover on this part one of the RESPA is the foreclosure process. It's important to know this and understand the other end of the mortgage process, like what happens when things go wrong, what is the worst case scenario, and what safeguards are put in place to keep an eviction from actually happening. So if a borrower misses a payment, it's immediately called a default, right? So there will be a notice sent out by the lender or the servicer to the borrower to remind them to pay. So this isn't like one of those cut and dry things. This is one of those, like, if it's very variable on who the servicer or lender of the loan is. Sorry, I had to cough. Sometimes there'll be a late fee. Sometimes there's a grace period. So if your mortgage is due on the 1st, maybe there's a grace period until the 15th, and then a late fee will be kicked in by that point. But the grace period can be of different time increments or not even exist at all. It's not a guarantee. So after multiple missed payments, more letters will be sent out to the defaulter. There are situations where the lender will work with the defaulted borrower in hopes not to go in any type of foreclosure. Many times lenders tend not to want to do foreclosure. If you do want to do loans just to foreclose on them, that's predatory lending and that's not good. But a notice of default will be sent out after 90 days of missed payments, and then it is recorded. So there's another period of 90 days where the borrower can be reinstated if they pay back all the money unpaid, so that'd be over 90 days of missed payments, or maybe even 180 days, which is a lot of money to just have to put up front. So if the borrower doesn't do anything for long enough, then it will be recorded in the county and publicized that the property will go up for sale. So public auction is the next step. Opening bid is based on the value of the outstanding balances, liens, anything that the owner of the property would have to pay back to get this house back in the clear. So the person with the highest bid will walk away with deed in hand for that property on the day of that auction. which is kind of cool. If it fails to sell in the auction, the lender will own the property. If the property sells at auction, the eviction will happen then. But if it fails to sell at auction, the lender will own the property and then make their money back. And then to make their money back, they'll work to sell that. So eviction will happen whenever the house is sold, either by the realtor that represents the owner of the home, like the lender, or at the auction. Funny story, I used to work for a realtor in another city who had to sell homes for Fannie Mae. So it was the homes that were in the secondary mortgage market and were defaulted on and possessed now by the servicer. So there are things that can be done to avoid eviction, and the most extreme, the system is set up for the people to be able to redeem themselves, like the 90-day redemption periods and warning periods, which is good to know that it's not all about like, oh, let's just, you know, get them out of there. So this concludes part one on RESPA. I didn't think I'd be spending 2 weeks on RESPA, so hopefully my mini episode about my life and happenings around my life is more interesting if you're looking for something lighter and less dull. I'm trying to make these episodes as interesting as possible, but bear with me as I really get used to podcasting and finding my voice on this platform. So come back next week for part two on RESPA.